Today's Shi'ur Masechet Bavas with Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel. We will begin on Daf Kuf Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, the top line, El Hod Tanya. At the end of the previous Shi'ur, we had discussed the concern of Nefilah, the concern of something dropping, and if we have to be concerned that somebody will drop a shtar or not. And there was a machlokes of Abaye and Rava, if that is a legitimate concern. But Abaye agreed to Rava that even if there's a concern that somebody dropped a shtar and it was dropped and a rabbim and many people might have picked it up and we have no way of knowing, Abaye agreed that if there's a shtar that says Yosef and Shimon being the malva, and Yosef and Shimon might have dropped a shtar and been picked up by a different Yosef and Shimon, for that even Abaye agreed that's in the field of the Yochid, and the field of the Yochid Loi Chashinan. Ask the Gemara. So if everybody is in agreement that we're not concerned within the field of the Yochid, all the Tanya, we learned in a Braisa. Shem Shemitzin Shtar Choyv Al Zeh Al Zeh. Just like if there are two individuals in town whose name is Yosef and Shimon, they can't take out a Shtar one against each other. Kach Eimitzin Al Acherim. So too can they not put out a shtar against anyone else. That means, according to the Braisa, unlike the Mishnah, if there are two Yosef and Shimons in town, and the shtar names Yosef and Shimon as the Malva, according to the Mishnah, that's fine. And if Yosef and Shimon comes to a loiv and says, you owe me the money, he would have to pay. It's only that he can't go to the other Yosef and Shimon with such a claim. Whereas according to the Braisa, not only can he not go to the other Yosef and Shimon, he can't go to anyone. Ask the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis between the Mishnah and the Braisa? The Mishnah says that you can't, that Yosef and Shimon, even if there are two Yosef and Shimons in town, can be a Malvin Ishtar, whereas the Braisa says he cannot. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokes all about? The machlokes says, can a shtar, an issue that we've discussed previously, can a shtar be transferred just by giving it over? Tanadan Sover, our Tana holds, Oisya Niknes B'Mesira. So we have in town two individuals with the name Yosef and Shimon. Even if one, according to our Mishnah, if one Yosef ben Shimon just transferred over that shtar to the other Yosef ben Shimon, that's 100% halachically acceptable. So even if the Yosef ben Shimon who's now approaching with the shtar is not the original Malva, according to our Mishnah, there's no problem. Whereas the Tana Barosova, the Tana of our Braisa holds, that we just quoted, the Tana of the Braisa that we just quoted holds, Ein Oisius Niklas ben Masira. We can't give a shtar can't be given over that way. And therefore, if Yosef and Shimon wrote the shtar, was the first malva, and he just now transferred it to another Yosef and Shimon, and he's the one that comes with it, he's not a legitimate malva, because just by transferring it over from one individual to another is not good enough. I saw a very interesting Rav Haigoin. Rav Haigoin says this concept, this issue, that we've already learned a number of times in our perek, about Oisius Niknes B'Mesir or not, is actually related to a machlokes that we just discussed in the previous year, the machlokes Masechet Gittin between Rav Elazar and Meya, of Eidei Chesim Karti or Eidei Mesira Karti. Where Rav Elazar holds the Eidei Mesira Karti, and Rav Meya holds Eidei Chesim Karti. And as we explain, if you hold Eidei Chesim Karti, the shtar has to be very clear, the Eidim and the date and everything. And if you hold Eidei Mesira Karti, what makes the shtar effective is the Edom who witnessed the transference of the shtar, and therefore the shtar doesn't need all of the details that a shtar would normally need. Says the Imre Bina, how do we connect these two machlokes? He says it's a very nice pshat. He says, if we hold, like Rav Meir, the Eidei Chesim Karti, and it has to be very clear, so if the shtar was written to me, and now it's just being transferred to another individual, so the shtar isn't clear, is it mine, is it his? According to Rav Meir, the shtar has to be clear. Versus Rav Elazar, doesn't require that type of clarity in the shtar, and therefore, even if the shtar is not clear, was it me as a mita malva, is it the person who I transfer to, it'll still be fine. Ibai Seima. Another way, suggests the Gemara, of explaining the machloikas between Ramei and Rabbi Lazar, is the kula alma oisius nictus from Sira. Everybody agrees that you can't transfer a shtar just by transferring it from one individual to another. For Hocha, what is the machloikas between the Mishnah and the Brice all about? But Tzarech lahavi raya k'mifgi. If you're transferring a shtar, which is an effective means of kinyan, do you now have to bring Edom that that's what happened? Tana Dansover, the Tana of our Mishnah holds, ain't Tzarech lahavi raya, there's no need to bring raya that that's what happened. But Tana Barasover versus the Tana of the Brice holds, Tzarech lahavi raya, you can't just say, that's not good enough. This issue, where everybody is in agreement that oisius nictus mimesira, you could just transfer a shtar from one individual to enough and that, to the other, and that's enough of a kinyan. However, abaya omer tzarech lavi raya, a raya is required to that event. Rav omer and a tzarech lavi raya, a raya is not required. And as Rabbi Leib Steinman says in the Sefer Yelz HaShachar, we certainly, everybody agrees that we have to be sure that this was transferred. Because we're here going to take money. The Leib is going to have to pay based on this. And we don't make a person pay unless we're sure he has to pay. The question is, is a raya required that it was given over, that it was transferred? And that's Machlok Sabai and Verova. And actually, the Gemara is saying it's machlokes between the Mishnah and the Brice. What's the machlokes all about? So I saw two ways the Rishonim suggest to understand the machlokes. The Rashba quotes both explanations. One explanation he gives is that even though we're learning, and the Gemara is saying now that oisius nictus mimesira and just giving over the shtar is enough, there are requirements how that's done. You have to say the words Leik chazek v'kni. And not a machloikas is, do we need to bring Edom that exactly happened? That's a buyer's opinion. Rava's opinion is we don't have to bring Edom. And just to understand the question and the answer a little better. We have a rule throughout Shas that by metalplin, whatever is nimtza tachas yodi, any metalplin that I have, if I come with this tape recorder, we assume it's mine. So here too, if somebody shows up with the shtar, it's also metaflin. Why can't we safely assume that it's his? Why is a raya required? Says the Rashba. Because we know that the shtar was transferred from one malva to the other. And we know there are rules and details how such a transfer takes place. And we need to be concerned that it was done properly. That's one way of explaining. Another way of explaining, which is fairly similar, is as follows, says the Rashba. The shtar is an ambiguous shtar, because the shtar has in it the name Yosef ben Shimon, but we don't know which Yosef ben Shimon is the malva. So since there's a level of ambiguity here, says Abaya, we need to have rayas that everything was done properly. If there weren't that level of ambiguity, we wouldn't need to bring rayas. Amar Abaya, Menor Mila, from where do I know that if a shtar is transferred, we need to bring a raya that it was transferred properly? Because it says in a brisa, Echem and Achem Sheshtach Choyv Yoitzim Metachas Yodoy. If one of the brothers, a father died, and there was a shtar havah that somebody owed the father money, and now one of the brothers, we had a father, Yaakov, and there's a shtar that says that somebody owes Yaakov money, and now one of the brothers, Reuven, comes and says that the money is owed to him. Echem and Achem Sheshtach Choyv Yoitzim Metachas Yodoy. All of Lahavi Raya. He has to bring a Raya. My love, who adin lachrini. Anybody who is now holding the shtar has to bring a Raya that it was properly transferred to him. Rava, how does Rava respond? Rava says, Shani Achim the Shamta Mahadadi. Yes, Rava says the Bryce is correct. Because there it's a situation that the father had a shtar. And now one brother, and the father was the malva, and now one of the brothers is showing up and saying that all the money is owed to him. And as the Rishonim explained, In such a circumstance, one of the brothers might have been Meir Heter. He might have rationalized that the shtar belongs to him. Why? Because maybe he took care of the father more than the other brothers, or whatever, for whatever reason. So there, Rava says, of course, even I will agree that he has to bring a raya that he indeed is the sole owner of the shtar hava. But in normal circumstances, there's no raya required. Ikadamri, a different version of this shak levatari between Rava and Baya. Amar Rava Menoah Minala, from where do I know that normally a raya is not required? The Tanya, if one of the brothers brings a shtar that, and he says that all the money that was owed to the father should be given to him from the shtar, so the halacha is olav lahavi raya. He has to bring a raya that that is indeed what happened, and that he is the sole owner of the shtar. Why? Specifically by achim, specifically by brothers who we just explained have this tendency or this reason to be concerned that one brother will take the entire shtar being Meir Heter. Achim hu d'shamti mehadadi. That's why we have reason to have this concern. Avlachrina, everybody else, loy. We don't have this reason to be concerned. Vabaya, how will Abaya respond to Rava? Doesn't Rava have a very good deek in the Braisa? Where specifically by brothers where we have this concern is a raya required, not everywhere else. We're just learning now that Abaya says a raya is always required. Says Abaya, achen itzruchalei. Everybody requires a raya. But by brothers, salkadat chamina, since brothers have this tendency, kiven the shamtama adodi, where they may take the shtar, one brother may take the shtar completely from himself. Aimim is there, Mizer is here. He's more careful. Vloit Srikil Avi Raya, and there's no reason to bring a Raya. Kamash Malon, that he does. Even brothers have to bring a Raya. Everybody else, of course, as a brother watches out. So we would think if another brother comes with a shtar, it's surely his. Kamash Malon, that we can't watch with a brother, and everyone else for sure we can't watch out. Ask the Gemara, Elohad Tanya, but now we have a different Braisa. This Braisa says, Kishem Shemitzin Shtar Choy Valachirim, if we have in town two individuals with the same name, two Yosef and Shimons in town, that the halacha is that they can present a Shtar Choy that somebody owes them money, Kach Mitzin Zelze. So two Yosef and Shimons present one Shtar against each other. Whereas our Mishnah taught us that if there are two Yosef and Shimons in town, even though, as we learned on top of the Amid, according to our Mishnah, they could be the malva that other people have to pay them, but they can't be a malva and loiva with each other. So what is the machloikis? But Mike Kamifki asked the Gemara, what is the basis of the machloikis between the Mishnah and this Braisa? Answers the Gemara, because mishtala loiva vapish a malva in Mike Kamifki. This way the Rishonim framed this Gemara. We learned the Mishnah together a few blad ago, that says clearly that if a loiva walks into a cipher and says, write a shtar that I owe someone money, the Mishnah says, Kais v'shtar l'loiva, abishay malvima. He's only hurting himself by making such a request, and of course we'll write such a shtar. Here we're referring to a situation, as we have been learning, where there are two individuals in town with the same name. Here is the question, under these circumstances, will we write a shtar on behalf of the loiva without the malva there? And the Gemara explains itself. Do we write a shtar for loiva when the malva is not there, when there are two individuals with the same name in town? Tana didon soiver. Our Tana of our Mishnah holds the kais v'shtar loiva v'apish malvi imay. Even when there are two people in town with the exact same name, we could write a shtar for one and for the loiva without the malva there. And therefore we have the following concern, explains the Gemara. Zimnan, the Ozl Gabisafra, Visadi, one of the Yosef and Shimons will go to the Sofer and to Edom, Vamalahu, any request of them, Kisfuli Shtara, I need money, and I know that the other Yosef and Shimon, very likely a relative of his, will be willing to lend me money, but he's going to want a shtar. So I want to have a shtar in my pocket prepared. Kisuli shtar, prepare for me a shtar that I owe Yosef and Shimon money, so that I should be able to be in and lamezev ben Yosef and Shimon Chavri, so that I could borrow money as soon as I meet the other Yosef and Shimon. And what will he now do? Acting dishonestly, obviously. After such a shtar is prepared on his behalf, the kitale, he goes to the other Yosef and Shimon, and he does something very terrible. Instead of saying that this is the shtar, I want to borrow money from you, and here's the shtar that I'll give you, that you should have, that I owe you money, he says, you know what the shtar says? That you owe me money. And they both have the exact same name. So because of that, says our Mishnah, when you have two individuals in town with the exact same name, Yosef and Shimon, they can't take out a shtar against each other, unless we have a clear indication who's the Malva and who's the Loiva. However, and that's why the Mishnah says, Eimot Sin Shtar Choyv Zal Zeh. Whereas the Tanab Rosover, the Tanab the Brisa holds, Eim Kosman Shtar Loiva, Achehe Malvi Moy, that when there are two Yosef and Shimon's in town, we won't write a Shtar for Loiva if the Malva's not there, and therefore we don't have to be concerned for such a dishonest act to occur. We learned in our Mishnah, Nimtzalecha Ben Shtar Yosef, if somebody found amongst the Shtaris, Shtarish of Yosef and Shimon Perua, that the shtar of Yosef and Shimon is paid up, Shtarish and Peruan. Which means, the Gemara, at least in the Havamina, is learning that what is Pshat in the Mishnah, that there's a shtar that says that he owes Yosef ben Shimon money. And now, in other words, I have a shtar that I have two shtars, actually, that I owe Yosef ben Shimon money. And now, I find a document amongst my documents that I paid up one of those shtars. So the halach is that neither Yosef ben Shimon could come to me with a claim. Tama, the nimtza. Because this document is, I have this document saying that I paid up one of the Yosef and Shimon's. It doesn't say which one. So that's why neither Yosef and Shimon can collect. Either one that comes to me, I'll say, you're not the one I owe. Halay nimtza, matzi mapik. V'not tanan, ask the Gemara, without this issue that he found this document, no one can take a shtar chayv against them. Didn't that Mishnah say that? Amrav Yirmiya, our Mishnah is referring to a case Mishaloshim. That I just said a minute ago, we learned in the Mishnah, that just because you have two people in town with the same name, doesn't mean it's an issue that can't be resolved. If the shtar indicates who's who, then you correct shtaris of two Yosef and Shimon's. And Mishaloshin, that the shtaris were written and they, properly, and therefore they're kosher shtaris. So if the shtaris were written properly, so next year, shtar, tavar b'shman d'man kosher. So let's see what it says in the receipt. Which shtar was paid up? Answers the Gemara, Amra Vaishya, Mishloshim Shtave, Mishloshim Bishayva. The shtar is written properly, and that's why the shtaris are good shtaris, but they're not, the shayver is not written properly, and therefore we can't rely on the shayver, and neither will be able to collect. Amra Baya, Baya has a different shot of the Mishnah. Hachkama, Nimtzel Aloyva ben Shtaroysov, Shtarish Yosef ben Shimon Peru, Alai Perua, Shtarish Tain Peru. We have to assume that both of them are paid, because we don't know who was and who wasn't paid. However, says the Rajba, there's two extremes in the Rajba, how to learn this Gemara. The Rajba says as follows. There's a document that says that I paid you up. There's a document that says I paid you up. It's just not clear who's the you. This Yosef ben Shimon or that Yosef ben Shimon. So I don't have to pay either. But what happens if these two Yosef ben Shimons get together and they make a hashah between each themselves? Then the halach is, I'll have to pay because one of them wasn't paid. I only paid up one. So the Rajba says, so why doesn't the Gemara say that? That these two Yosef and Shimon's could write a harshah between themselves? So the Rajba, because it's so obvious that they could do that, there's no need for the Gemara to say it. That's one pshat. The Rajba then says that's the opposite. No, a harshah wouldn't work. Because even though the loiv originally comes and says, the loiv originally comes and says that I paid up only one, he could change and say, shtar perua means I paid up both. And therefore, if I paid both, our show would not be helpful. So what do we say at the end of the Mishnah? When you have two individuals in this town with the same name, what should you do? Ketzed yasu yishalshu. They should write, this one's Yosef ben Shimon ben Yaakov, this is Yosef ben Shimon by whoever, that we should have a simon. Tana. If they both have the same names, we should write the kahanim. Let's say they're both kahanim, says the Gemara. Tanim hayish name kahanim. So what we should do is yichtu v'dayrus. Says the Mishnah. Hoyim l'benoy. If somebody says to his son, shtar ben shtaroy say perua. One of my shtaris is paid up. Veini yodeyu ezahu. So the way the Rashbam explains the Mishnah, this person is holding close to death, and he's settling his affairs, and he tells his children, one of the shtaris that I have, that people owe me money, is paid up, and he didn't have the opportunity to change, to complete a sentence, or to clarify which is that shtar amongst the shtaris that's paid up. The halach is that we have, because Hamaitz Mechaver Olav Araya, every loiva could claim that my shtar is the shtar that is the shtar that's not paid up, and therefore the halach is the shtar that is paid up, and they can't collect from anybody. Shtaris kulam peruin. They can't collect from anybody. However, says the Mishnah, nimtzel echad shem Shnayim, there's a loiva that owed to this father two shtaris. So the father said only one shtar is paid up, and he owns two shtaris. So there the halacha will be hagol peru v'katan peru in a peru. The loiva owed two shtaris to this malva, and the malva said the one shtar is paid up, and he didn't identify which shtar, but only one shtar is paid up. So if you have two shtaris to this malva, one of them for sure you'll have to pay. Again, which will be the one that we can make you pay? The smaller one, Hamaitz Mechaver Olav Araya. The Mefarshim debate, as the Rashbam said that the Mishnah is referring to a situation that this person is holding by death. What will be the halacha? What will be the halacha if he gets better? So then, can we discount the statement he made before he died or not? Can he withdraw that statement or not? It's actually Mechalokes HaPaiskim. Furthermore, the Paiskim say that even though the halacha is that every loiva can claim that my shtar is the shtar that's paid up, the malva, or in our case in the Mishnah, the yoshim of the malva, could say you can make that claim based on the statement, the ambiguous statement that our father made before he passed away. But you have to swear that your taka paid up. The Rishash asked the following question. Let's say this father, who made this ambiguous statement of our Mishnah, had a number of people that owed him a number of shtaris. One person owed him five documents, and one person owed him two documents. So we notice machlokes throughout Shas, if holchem b'mamon achar roiv, if in dinei mamonos we follow roiv or not. So according to the man, the Omer that says, holchem b'mamon achar roiv, shouldn't we say statistically, it's most likely that the person who owes him more shtaris, had more shtaris is the shtar that's paid up. So Rishash answers, we don't follow statistics. Every individual is looked at individually, and the fact that you have five shtaris against that malva, and I have three shtaris against the malva, is irrelevant. Says the Gemara, Amar Rava, shtar lecha biyadei perua. If I owe you money, if I say that one of your shtaris is paid up, without identifying which one, so we assume, as we just learned in the Mishnah, that the gadol is the one that we assume is paid up, the bigger one, Hamaitz Mechaver Olav Araya, and I could only demand of you the smaller debt that got in a perua. But if the wording the malva used was choy b'yadei perua, he didn't say shtar perua. He says the debts are perua. Then we assume that he meant that all of your debts have been settled, and he cannot claim any money from him. Shtaris kulam peruin. Amalei Ravina Larova. Says Ravina Tarava, based on this, El Mata, if we're going to follow this line of reasoning, if I say, Sodom Chulach, that I sold you my field, and not a question is which field did I sell? Soda Gedoyle Mechurlai, will I have to give my biggest field? Because we don't know, and we should say to my detriment. Or, if I just use the word Soda Sheshdim Mechurlai, does that mean that Kol Sodois of Mechurlai, that all of his fields are sold? Answers the Gemara, Hasam Yad Balashtar Al Tachtana. We can't compare the two situations. Both situations actually are based on a Moitz Mechaveir Olav Araya. And let's understand what I just said. In the first case where I say the money you owe me is paid up, we just don't know is it the bigger debt or the smaller debt, a Moitz Mechaveir Olav Araya, and you'll only give me the small amount. Whereas it's the other way around where it says, I sold you a field, or I sold you a field, so you want to be taken from me. You want to take a field from me. Hamayitz Mechaver Olav Araya gives you the least rights, and you only can get one field and my smallest field. We begin now in our Mishnah and Gemara, Mitzvah Sheb, the Sugya of Arav. Arav means a guarantor. And as we're going to learn, there are different types of guarantors. Interesting Shaila that the Paiskim discuss is being a guarantor to a loan a mitzvah. So certainly I saw from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that if you know there's a loan going on, which is a risky loan, there's no mitzvah to be a guarantor to such a loan. The question I'm discussing is a situation where it seems that the loiver will be able to pay off the malva, but the malva insists on a guarantor, an arev. Is there a mitzvah to be an arev? And the price can connect to an actually a different shayla, which is the machlokes of the Nesivos and Urim Vetumim. If you take a loan from someone else, and the malva demands a mashkin, demands collateral, security, and you don't have anything to give up for mashkin, is there a mitzvah for me to lend you something to give as a mashkin that you should be able to get the loan? Machlokes Nesivos and Urim Vetumim. The price can say, according to the Mandom that says it's a mitzvah to provide you with a mashkin, it will be permitted to provide you here too. Other places can disagree. Another. So now, as I said, there are a number, and it will become clearer, actually even more tomorrow's shir, that there are a number of categories of arev. The simplest category of arev is I'm a regular guarantor, where the halacha is that a guarantor is not turned to unless the loiver can't pay up. The next category, which the Mishnah speaks about, is where I say that you could collect from whomever you want. There the halacha, as will become clear in the Gemara, it doesn't mean you could go to the Arav first. It means that if the loiva doesn't have property readily available, then you could go to the Arav. But if the loiva has property, you can't go to the Arav first. And then there's another category called the Kablan, and another category called Noisim and Noisim Biyad, where there you can go to the Arev first. Again, I'm not going very much into the different categories because they'll become clearer, as I said, more in the Shurim that we're going to learn, the Mitzvah Shem. The halacha, as I said, is that in a normal situation of a guarantor, the halacha is you don't go to the Arev unless the loiver doesn't have the ability to pay. There's a fundamental machloikas rishonim why. One pshat that the rishonim suggests is that the guarantor who accepted upon himself this responsibility only accepted it upon himself with the understanding that he's going to be approached at last resort. First we'll go to the loiva. Only if the loiva doesn't have the opportunity to pay will we go to him. But if not, we won't go to him. Then there's another pshat in the Rishonim. The Rishonim suggests another reason. Just like we know, and we discussed this many times, and we're going to learn it soon again, that when somebody borrows money, so if he could pay up, we take the money from him. If he can't pay up, we go to his lekuchas, people who bought property from him, and all that property, we say, becomes mortgage as soon as he takes the loan. So anybody bought property from him, that property is mortgaged to that loan, and we could take the property away from the lekuchas. Similarly, the arv is considered like a lekuchas. And the mefarshim give a number of nafkaminas between these two pshatim. What would be the halacha if the arev, when he became an arev, the loiva had property, but now by the time the loiva has to pay back, he no longer has property? Do you approach the arev or not? If we say that the arev took upon himself the obligation, so we have to look at the time of payment. If we say that the arev is considered like lekuchas, so just like you go to the lekuchas first, you go to the lekuchas here too before you go to the arev. Similar question. The halacha is, and we'll discuss this a little more, mitzvah. Typically, the Gemara Masechta Bamitzia teaches us that a choiv is paid from beininess, from average type of property. So let's say the loiva has property, but he only has a burius. Can the malva go to the arev for his beininess, or does he have to go to the loiva first and only accept Zaburius? If we say he's considered like lekuchas, so the halacha is you don't go to lekuchas as long as the loiva has even Zaburius, so until you can go to the arev. But if the arev took on an obligation that if the loiva can't pay, you come to me, can't pay may mean not just that he doesn't have anything, it could be if he doesn't have what he needs to have, meaning he doesn't have beininess. Another question. What would be the halacha? The Rishonim discussed this question. What will be halacha if the person, the loiva, is a gavra alma, to use the terminology of the Rishonim? A gavra alma means he's a tough person, hard to collect the money from him. Can the aura be approached where it's hard to collect money from the loiva himself? So actually, it's interesting to note that the Rishonim, when they discuss this question of a gavra alma, say it's a nafkamina if the loiva was a gavra alma when the loan took place, only became a gavra alma later. If the person was a gavra alma when the loan took place, so the arev knew what he was getting into, that he's the arev for a person that's not likely to pay. If he only became a gavra alma later, the arev could say, this I didn't bargain for. But the question is, the loiva's here, he has the means to pay, but he doesn't want to pay. Can you collect from the arev or not? Again, it depends what obligation the arev takes. If his obligation is that if you can't collect from the loiva, you come to me. So not being a gavra alma means you can't collect from him. But on the other hand, the arev means you only collect from me when he doesn't have from what to take. Here he asks the loiva has what to take from. It's hard to get it. But you wouldn't go to the arev under those circumstances. One more nafkamina. Very famous machloikis, Rambam and Ravid. Let's say there are two arevs. There are two guarantors to loan. And the loiva doesn't pay. And we're going to the arev. So how do we look at these two guarantors? The Rambam says that the malva has a right to choose which guarantor to go from. The Ravid says, no, each guarantor has to give 50-50. So the Mefarshim suggests that the machlokes of Rambam and Ravid is actually to be viewed with the machlokes that we've been describing. If we say that the Arav took on a responsibility, so I am an Arav and you are an Arav, but we both took on a responsibility. So whoever the Malva chooses to collect from will have to pay. If we say that we're like just in line, so I'm not more in line to be responsible than you are in line to be responsible, and that's why each one of us will have to pay half the debt. It's interesting to note, a very interesting vort that the Sharm Tzion Balocha quotes from the Siach Yitzchak. He says as follows. He says that we know there's a concept, a halacha concept of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh. And that's why the halacha is that one person could make a bracha on behalf of another person. So the halacha is as follows. Let's say both of us have to make the exact same bracha. So we all know the halacha is I can make the bracha and we might see you. What would be the halacha if you have to make a bracha and I don't? So the halacha is as follows. If you're able to make the bracha and then I shouldn't make the bracha on your behalf. Only if you're unable to make the bracha, can can I make the bracha on your behalf? Why? So says the Siach Yitzchak, based on our Mishnah, on our concept. Just like the halacha is that an Arav is only held responsible to pay if the loiva can't pay, so to here. Kol Yisrael Arav Zelazeh. So I make a bracha on your behalf, but I'm only going to make the bracha if you, just like the loiva, just like the Arav only pays if the loiva can't pay, so too could I make a bracha on your behalf, only if you can't make the bracha. So says the Mishnah. Hamavis chaver yidei Arif. If somebody is an Arif on a loan, lo yufrim an Arif, then you can't go to the Arif first. However, v'm amar manasha efra v'misha erza, I'll take payment from whoever I want, then I'll lach as yufrim an Arif. And I said the Gemara is going to explain the opinion of the Tanakam of Shimon Gamaliel much more at length, actually tomorrow's shiur. Shimon Gamaliel loymer, v'myesh nechosim loyva, if the noiva has independent assets, benkach lo yifrim an arif. Says the Mishnah further. The kenai of Shimon Gamaliel oimer. Furthermore, Shimon Gamaliel used to say, ha arif l'isha b'ksubasa. Somebody's a guarantor to a woman and her ksuba. Vayibala magarsha. And her husband is divorcing her. Yadirena hano. We have to make the husband make a nether that there is no conspiracy, there's no collusion between them. Because what do we need to be concerned? This husband and wife have no intention of getting divorced. They just want to be able to get the ksuba. So the husband divorces the wife, and he makes a net, and then has to pay the ksuba. He says, I have no assets. Who's going to have to pay? The arif. And then they get remarried, and she has those assets of the ksuba. How do we prevent such a fraud? They're making a nor, making the husband make a nether, and the Rashbam says it has to be a nether of das rabim, which a nether of das rabim, the halach is, can never be annulled, that I'm not going to have a nor from you or any of your assets. Then we could be certain that this is not some fraud that's being perpetrated. We have to make the husband make such a nether that he's not going to have a no from her, for we need to be concerned. He's just trying to get their hands on some of the assets of the Arif, and then and the Arif will be at a loss. When is this nether made? Some Rishonim say that the nether is made at the time of the divorce. Other Rishonim say that the nether is made at the time when he comes to pay off the ksuba. Furthermore, there's an interesting tshuvas Ramah. The Ramah says that this woman could end up being a victim for no good reason. The husband will refuse to make the nether, and if the husband refuses to make the nether, so she can't collect the ksuba from the arif, where she really is entitled to it. So Rav Akiva Eger says it's difficult. Rav Akiva Eger says, indeed, if the husband won't make the nether, she's an unfortunate victim. The Ramah and the tshuva says that's unfair to her, and if we try to get him to make the nether but refuses, the Arab will have to pay the ksuba. We can't leave the woman without a ksuba. Asks Rabbi Chanan, the Kibbutz Shurim, this Arab accepted upon himself to be the Arab. He said, I will be the Arab to the ksuba. So if he said, I'm going to be the Arab to the ksuba, why could he now require a nether? He accepted the Arvis fair and square. Says Rabbi Chanan, that he didn't accept he only accepted the Arvis if it's going to be an honest situation. But if fraud is being perpetrated on that basis, under those circumstances, he didn't accept the Arvis, and therefore, a nether could be made. Says the Gemara, my Tama, why is the halacha that you can't collect from the Ariv if the loiva has his own assets? Rav Rav Yosef Amr Tavaya, Gavra Shlimus Lay, because the Ariv could say to the loiva, could say to the Malva, I guaranteed you that you would have a person from whom to collect. Gavra Shlumalach. And here's the loiva. So why should I have to pay? Maskula Rav Nachman, Hai Dina de Pasoi. What you're saying is like a Persian rule. It doesn't make any sense. Adrabba, Basa Arva Azli. We should always go after the Arif. Just like the Parasoim always go after Arif. Ella, so he says, I'm sorry, I didn't rewrite. Hay dinu pasoy, says the Gemara. If you want to say it's dinu pasoy, it's clearly not dinu pasoy. Because dinu pasoy always go after the guarantor. And we're saying that we don't always go after the guarantor. Other Rebbe, if you want to say, says Rav Nachman, that we're following the dinu pasoy, our Mishnah is clearly inconsistent with the dinu pasoy. Because the pasoy always bossa ava azli, go after the guarantor. And we're saying that you don't always go after the guarantor. Ella, says the Gemara, what I meant, says Rav Nachman, what I meant was, they didn't pasoy. It's like the judgments, the verdicts given by the Bezdin of Pasoy. That's like the Loi Tav Masayu. They don't explain what they're saying, and you're not explaining what you're saying. El Amar Rav Nachman, Milo Yifram and Arif, what's the halacha? Why don't you collect from the Arif when the Loiva could pay? Lo Yitrav Arif Tchila. It means that you don't go to the Arif first, you go to the Loiva first. And so do we learn indeed in a braitza. Hamavas chaver de arif lo yitva arif tchila. You don't go to the guarantor first. However, if it's a situation from Omar, if it's a situation as we learned in the Mishnah that a different type of wording was used, where the wording efremish erza, then Allah is yitva arif tchila. You can't go to the arif first. Says the Gemara. Amar Rav Huna menayin la arif de mishtabi. And the way to Rishonim explain Rav Huna's question is as follows. We've been learning, we've learned so many times, Baruch Hashem, that in order for a transaction to be considered halachically effective, a kinyan is required. Where is the kinyan here that this Ariv just says, I'll be a guarantor, and he becomes automatically a guarantor? Says the Gemara, because we have the parasha in the Chumash, where Yehuda says to Yaakov, Anoichi Arvena miyadi tabakshena, I will be an Ariv to bring Binyamin back. The Farshim say, Yehuda wasn't an Arif. Yehuda was the Loiva. He's saying, I'm going to give you back Binyamin. How we have arrived from Yehuda to the parish of Arvis. So I saw a number of answers. One is some suggest that that's actually the Gemara's question. Another explanation I saw is that what happened here was that Yaakov actually handed the brother Binyamin over to all the brothers. And Yehuda was the guarantor that they would bring him back. They were the loiva, and Yehuda was the guarantor that they would bring him back. How was Yehuda able to take on such a responsibility? So I saw a beautiful pshat. Yaakov, Yehuda knew that none of Yaakov's children would die in Yaakov's lifetime. Yaakov didn't know that, because Yaakov thought that Yosef died already, and he thought that the haftacha that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave that none of his children would die in his lifetime, had expired. But Yehuda knew that Yosef wasn't dead. And therefore, he knew that that haftacha, that none of Yaakov's children would die, was still in effect. And that's why he felt confident in making this guarantee. Ask the Gemara Maskula Rav Chisda, how kablinus he? Reuven said that he's going to be a kablin. And as I said at the beginning, and we'll get into it more tomorrow, a kablin is a much higher level of obligation. And as the Mashal explains, if Reuven agreed to be a kablin, and Yehuda was now taking over Reuven's responsibility, he wasn't going to be less, only be more. So if Reuven was a kablin, Yehuda was a kablin. So how do we have a raya to Arvis? That's how the Mashal explains. Others explain that, as I said before, that the Gemara's question is that Yehuda was the loiva. He wasn't just an Arv. So how do we have a raya to Arvis? Ela Amar Rav Yitzchak Mehoka. It says in Pasuk, Lekach Mishlei, Lekach Bedek Arev Zor, you have Arev, or Ba'ad Nechriya Chavleyu. V'omar, B'ni, Im Araf Tlariyacha, Tekat Lazar Kapecha, Noik Shash to Be'imri Picha, Nekal to Be'imri Picha, Asoy Zois B'ni Vatzel, Kibos B'kaf Riyacha, Lech Esrapis Rehav Riyacha. Im Yomin Yesh Labiyotcha, if you owe him money, Hatle Pisis Yad, if he's just angry at you, try to find friends. The Ritva explains, why do I need two psukim to say the concept of arvis for Mishlei? He says, there's one issue of I'm an arif for a friend, and sometimes you're an arif for a person that you're zar, who's not your friend. It says the Gemara, Omer Ameima, arv the Mishtavit, that an arv becomes responsible for a loan, is actually machlok Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. Le Rabbi Yossi, Omer Asmach the Kanya, we had this concept many times, that I accept that responsibility because I never really think I'll have to pay, Arav Mishtabit. so too an Arav never assumes that he'll have to pay. Rabbi Yehudon, however, says, smacht like Tanya, so an Arav should never become an Arav because he never assumes that he'll have to pay. Amalei Ravashi, Lameimer, Hamaisim B'chayoyim, that we know that Halach is a smacht like Tanya, and yet an Arav is Mishtabit, El Amalei Ravashi, even if we hold a smacht like Tanya, Bahu Anah, the Kamehemelei, the fact that an Arav feels good, that you trust me to be the Arif, that affects the Kenyan, Gomer Mishtamed Nafshei, and therefore, even if we normally hold a smacht like Kanya, here will be Kanya. Interesting, Machloikis Apoiskim, and therefore a special Kenyan is not required. Interesting, Machloikis Apoiskim, the Prisha and Avni Nezer. Let's say he wasn't an Arif at the time of the loan, but he only becomes an Arif later. Is that going to be a regular case of Arvis, where a Kenyan is not required? That's the opinion of the Avni Nezer. The opinion of Prisha is that it's only at the time of the loan that he feels good that because of me the loan is taking place, is a Kenyan not required. But if somebody comes an Arav later, a Kenyan would be required.